Welcome to the Crossroad Off-Road, Minnesota's premier and only off-road podcast, brought to you by Motors & More Jeeps in Brainerd, Minnesota. Welcome to the Crossroad Off-Road podcast. My name is Mitch, your host. And today, it's going to be a little bit more of a random day because I got a couple things to kind of share with you guys. First off, I want to thank a new supporter, which I didn't even know I could do, but James, James T, I'm going to call him because I'm not sure how to say his last name. But he went through and found a way to support. I use the Anchor app to record my podcast, and somehow he figured it out. Maybe I talked about it at one podcast. But he's a new monthly supporter, so thank you for that. And as I'm looking at the, if you guys want to do it too, you can go to the Anchor, and I think somewhere on here you can support my podcast. I'll figure that out sometime and put it on a different other podcast, but James figured it out all by himself. So again, thanks. And that's just a kind of a Patreon type of a thing where you just, you know, you like he's given 99 cents a month, I think. I don't know if there's other options to do that, but hey, for me, that's a bonus. I texted my wife. I said, hey, at this rate, I'll be able to afford new tires in about 120 years. So she kind of got a kick out of that one. So, but again, thanks again, James. Also, I'm looking at the my listeners, where they're from. This is a little interesting. I mentioned this once before, but 96% of the listeners are from the United States. You know, should be. Then Canada is 2%. Ireland, Germany, Australia, Brazil, Tanzania, Mexico, Jamaica, South Africa, Turkey, South Korea, United Kingdom, Australia, Japan, Netherlands. So kind of breaks it down pretty nice there. Around the world, 51% is from Minnesota. We're Minnesota off-road based podcast, so should be from here. But got some listeners in Illinois, California, Wisconsin, Texas, and a few other states here and there. Definitely should have some more Colorado people on there based on our last podcast. Oh, there it is. There's Colorado. But pretty much all over the place, people tuning in. So maybe it's people on a trip and they're just driving and it picks it up. I'm not sure. It's interesting that most people listen through Apple Podcasts. I think that's the biggest one. But you can also listen through Spotify. In the podcast world, Spotify is really trying hard to get all the podcasts they can. They're really spending a lot of money on some different people. So if somebody from Spotify is listening, hey, I could use some more work. So great to have you guys. I think they paid some big numbers to Bill Simmons here recently. He's a sports guy. So, but he also does a cool podcast called The Rewatchables. And if you're interested in learning more about that, they have one on Caddyshack. They break down the Caddyshack movie in pretty good detail. It's one I'm listening to right now. I know it's not off-roady or vehicle-based, but there's some fun ones there. Obviously, a lot of more guys are into off-roading than gals, so 84% are guys. And some people don't specify, but 4% are ladies. So thanks to anybody who listens. A big chunk of the people who listen are 35 to 44 years old. That's 40% of the audience that's listening there. So 45 to 59 is 14%. That's the second biggest one. Then there's some younger people under 18 to 22. That's the third biggest crowd. So again, that's kind of the weird breakdown that I'm seeing on my dashboard here. But yeah, so that's just kind of the where the supporters are at and kind of the podcast and kind of who's listening. So kind of cool to hear and see, I guess, and take a look at that. But again, special thanks to James, our new supporters. This week on this next part of the podcast, I want to talk about Can Mitch Fix It? This is the segment of Can Mitch Fix Something? I think last week, a couple weeks ago, I talked about Piper. We got her heater thing fixed. Her heater blower motor resistor was blown out. We figured that out. And that was something that my brother had, and somebody else kind of helped me in the past podcast talk about that. But today I had a problem with my lawnmower. This has been an ongoing problem. I talked about how I fixed my snowblower and was pretty excited about that. And I got it all fixed up, then it didn't snow the rest of the year. Kind of the way it goes. But the lawnmower, it's a Honda lawnmower, and I've had it for over 15 years, and I bought it secondhand off of somebody else. And been running fine until recently. It's just hard starting, won't stay running. So I thought, well, maybe it's bad gas. So today I got after it and said, I changed the oil this spring already and decided, well, I'm going to go ahead and change out the gas. So I got started in the backyard, let it run dry because I didn't want to deal with spilling any gas. It was, you know, basically an eighth of a tank left, so I just let it run. Ran it all out of gas, went and got some new gas, put it in there, still the same problem. I thought maybe it was running rich, so I thought I was going to adjust the carbs and work on that. But then via the power of the YouTube, I got on YouTube and this one guy goes, your problem might just be it needs this new spark plug. And so I went to the old hardware store and picked up the spark plug I needed, although which they didn't have on the shelf. They had to go in the back room as well, those things. And so I actually pulled the old, I did the smart thing first. I went to the lawnmower and I pulled the spark plug out, took a picture of it, so I had the number, because if you guys don't know this, there's about 500 different types of spark plugs. So I had the picture, I had the item number. It wasn't just order off Amazon, but I'll run over and help out local hardware store. So I went and talked to these guys, and they said, well, they went in the back, they came out the exact one I needed, came home, and I put it in, started it right up, first pull, ran like a top. So far, so good. It stayed running the whole time, didn't sputter. So hopefully it was just need a new spark plug. The older spark plug was pretty black. Maybe that's normal. But I think that hopefully I fixed it. So this segment of Can Mitch Fix It, I think I fixed it. But I had mowed lawn today because both my sons were hesitant to try it even, because you have to pull start about 15 times just to finish the lawn. And I was doing it and frustrated the whole time. But then that's why I got after it. Like, well, I'm going to figure this thing out today. Figure out what's going on with my lawnmower. So again, now it has new oil, has a new spark plug, which I should have changed the spark plug when I changed the oil last time. New gas. So hopefully it's running up and running. So that's a little segment of Can Mitch Fix It? So yeah, that was kind of my crossthread moment today. But the other thing I want to talk about is the big news that happened this week and how it might affect us. The big news that happened was the new Ram TRX came out. And I'm curious to think about who's going to buy one of these things. So the first thing I thought of, who's going to buy the Ram TRX in Minnesota? And I think it's the same people that would buy a Raptor. There's not much high-speed desert running out here. That's kind of what these vehicles are built for. But whoever buys a Raptor or Ram TRX, they'd be a type of person they want the coolest, biggest, baddest thing that's out there. And for the most part, that's what these Raptors or TRXs are. If you guys are living under a rock and don't know what I'm talking about, Ram TRX is the new Ram pickup with one of the Hellcat motors in it. So it's got ridiculous power, ridiculous torque, and it's going to go super fast. I did ask my wife, Mrs. Crossed, we're driving a Jeep, and I said, I kind of off the cuff asked her, I go, hey, you know, this big news, Ram pickups came out with this new truck, has a whole bunch of power. And I said, you know, the vehicle we're in at the time was, my pickup, and I said, this has 355 horsepower, which is apparently now on the low end of horsepower ratings nowadays. And I go, guess what the new Ram has? And she goes, I don't know, 700? And I'm like, wow. She was pretty dang close. So 702 horsepower, 650 foot-pounds of torque. And last night I went online on YouTube and watched the unveiling. And if you guys didn't know, the Ram had a couple sport trucks back in the day. In the 70s, they had a sport truck. I forget what they called it. But then the 90s or 2000s, they had the SRT10, which they put a Viper motor in a pickup and went 154 miles an hour with it. So they're no stranger to kind of doing some big things like this where they slap a big engine in. And you got to give it to Ram or Dodge or FCA, whoever it is, they're not afraid to slap a big engine in and kind of really go out there with it. They did that with the 392 concept when Bronco came out. They kind of tried stealing some of the thunder from Bronco, and it says, well, we're going to come out and throw a V8 in a Wrangler. Everybody's been asking about it, so let's go ahead and do it. And so they're brave enough to do those things. So I've got to commend them for that, because most companies are going, you know, smaller engines, turbochargers, or kind of pulling back. But if I had the money and the means, I would buy one to drive and one to store, because I think this will be a collector's item, because I think that as you see less and less big V8 motors because of electrification, and being that we need to be a little bit more electrified, that's just the way it's going a lot of places. But you know, we're in a great age right now with Horsepower Wars 2.0, and it's amazing that you know the Ford Raptor comes out with what 450 horsepower I think it has, and this one's coming out at 700, this new one. So it's amazing to me that they're doing this. But a little more about the TRX, if you guys aren't diving into as much as I did, it's going to have 6.2 liter supercharged Hellcat variant motors, detuned just a tiny bit because when you put it into a truck, it kind of has to have a little different parameters to it. And it's going to have it's a push rod V8, 0 to 60 in 4.5 seconds. And it's going to be an all-wheel drive transfer case, so you're not going to be able to put it in two-wheel drive unless you take out the front drive shaft, I guess. But reason why they do that, and they also did that with their SRT Jeep Grand Cherokee and their Dodge Durango that has a 707 horsepower motors in them. They're all-wheel drive. It's just to get power to ground, especially the pickup. If you have that much power, I mean, anybody who drives a truck, if it's raining out even, you just hit the gas at a stoplight, you're spinning the tires. The back end is pretty light. There's not much weight back there, so especially with the pickup, you're gonna want the all-speed, all-wheel drive in. I always put my truck in all-wheel drive when it's raining out because of any stoplight, I can just turn them over really easily. And like I said before, that's the little engine they have. The 6.2 and the GMs are 450 or 420 horsepower. So long story longer, more about the Ram. How it compares, well, I'll get into how it compares, but it's going to have 355, final drive ratio, which is a little higher than your Raptor at 410s. But again, the power it has is just ridiculous. So it can kind of start a taller gear and final rear end. It's in a couple of 35s. I think that's kind of standard for these type of trucks. And it's really built, I think, for high speed desert running and just being the baddest truck on the block, I guess. Tow ratings compared to your, I thought the tow ratings on the Raptor were a little bit lower, but they are 8,000 pounds, and the TRX is 8,100. But the payload is a little different. I think the payload is about 120 pounds bigger in the TRX, so if you're hauling more stuff. But the big difference is going to be the horsepower, and they're both built pretty wide. If you watch the video, the TRX is a wide machine. Much like the Ram, I'm sorry, the Raptor, it comes with the clearance lights on the sides because that's what dualies have to have. So it's kind of like dually rated. If you go to a car wash and kind of look at the car wash, they have little warning signs. It'll say no dualies and no Raptors. So they have to change those signs and say no dualies, no Raptors, no TRX. Because these things are going to be pretty dang wide. One cool thing, One cool thing that Ram also does, we knew this was coming out for a while, but what they're saying now is like, hey, here it is, but you can order it today already. You can order it last Monday, actually, a few days ago, and you'll get it before Christmas. That's how quick these things are coming out. They're not saying, yeah, it'll be out in 2021 or whatever. It's like, no, and they're not going to have a limited run. They're not going to say, hey, we're only going to have 300 of these or 3,000. Everyone that's built is going to be sold, and if you want one, you just got to go to a Jeep dealership, or not Jeep, a Ram dealership, and order one. And I happen to know a guy who runs a dealership, and I asked him on Tuesday night. I said, "You guys going to get some?" He goes, "Oh, I knew you were going to ask me." He goes, "Yeah, every dealership gets one, and we'll get one." He goes, "But we got the new Charger Challenger. I think it was a Challenger he got when those came out with the Hellcat." He goes, "We got those, and then it just sat for a year." And so, well, it's because Minnesota in this winter, you're not going to want a rear-wheel drive only vehicle, but this one is all-wheel drive. So I think it'll sell pretty quick. If every dealership gets one, I bet it sells pretty quick. There's got to be a Raptor owner out there who's wants that V8 sound and wants the biggest, baddest thing on the block. So you're going to see him around town. Now, are we ever going to see him on the trail? That's the big question. Are we going to see it up in Gilbert? I don't know. Every time I'm up at Gilbert, I don't ever see a full-size pickup out there. Usually, you see Jeeps and buggies, and there's some Suzukis and stuff like that. But I have yet to see a Raptor. So if somebody can show me a picture, that'd be great. I'd love to see what a Raptor might do up there. But again, those are a little bit big, a little bit wide, a little bit long. So yeah, I think that's going to be a little different story for if people are actually going to take them off-road. But you're gonna see them, you know, cruising around Edina, cruising around Eden Prairie. You're gonna see them out there doing their thing around the malls. But they're gonna be pretty cool to see and to hear when they actually do come in. I think, like I said, Ram is in FCA in general. They're pretty big on, you know, hey, we want to be part of the big motor power party, part of the conversation. Anxious to see what Ford would do in response. So what might they do? Well, would they put the Coyote engine in there? You know, Coyote's the 5 liter. Would they put a supercharged version of that in, or would they go to the 7.3 and bring that in? Does that have the capabilities to get up to 650, 700 horsepower to kind of be in the same realm? Hard to say. Or is Ford just fine with having their V6 do their talking? Or can they tune that V6 up? I mean, the Ford GT had a version of this, I believe, that was pushing some good horsepower. I want to say 600, but I don't know. I don't read as much on cars anymore. I mainly stick to the truck world and the Jeep world. But could they do that? Who knows? Would that be the answer that a lot of people want to see? Who knows? I mean, Raptor's been kind of the only one out there for a long time doing their thing and being that off-road truck that nobody's really tried to do anything with and be a part of. The term Raptor killer has been thrown around by a few different vehicles out there, but none of them really got close. So we'll see what this one does. Now, inside the Ram, I listen to a lot of podcasts about off-road vehicles and about trucks in general. I watch a lot of stuff on YouTube. And Ram definitely has the big touch screen. Everybody wants to go those big touch screens. I kind of wish they would have the touch screens, but a separate features for your HVAC, because it bothers me when you have to like go through five different, you know, menus just to turn your, you know, shut off your heated steering wheel. Like my wife's vehicle has that in her Jeep Grand Cherokee. The steering wheel goes from ice cold to, you know, burning your hands in about 30 seconds. And you have to go through all the touch screens to shut the thing back off. There's no happy medium with it. My Yukon, which it had heated steering wheel, was perfect. You turn on, it got warm. It didn't get like, you know, your hands couldn't touch the steering wheel. This Jeep thing, the steering wheel just gets way too hot. That's, you know, my feedback on it. But I don't get why you need to go through five different screens and, you know, going back and forth. It's too complicated. But maybe this the new screen in the Rams, it's a 12-inch screen. So it's a massive screen. So I think you're going to see that a lot more in the Ford and the GM products, kind of trying to compete with the Ram on that, because everybody who reviews these things and who gets their hands on every one of them, they like the Ram interior the best. I grew up a Ford guy, and but that was back in the 80s, and then I got into a GMC Yukon. I really liked it. I had an Explorer before that, then the GMC Yukon. I liked it because it had an all-wheel drive switch. They could get automatic four-wheel drive. I like that idea, and where I could just stick it in there and just leave it. If it needed it, it kicked in. If it didn't, it didn't. You know, it saves on gas mileage. You just don't need a four-wheel drive all the time. So then when I bought my pickup, I knew I was going to get a GMC. And what I like about the GMC versus the Ford, it was much quieter in a GMC. It had really comfortable seats. It was just a quiet machine. I'm just curious now, the technology, and people want to have their cake and eat it too, I guess, when it comes down to technology. They want to have it all. I really like having Apple CarPlay. That's a handy feature, and that's in my GMC. And I just wonder if and touchscreen is like an 8.4, I think. And I can imagine what a 12-inch screen might look like. But I wonder if the other companies are going to kind of follow up and say, okay, let's kind of have a bigger screen in here now. So I'm curious to see how that works. I know that doesn't do a dang thing for you when you go off-road, but it is nice to have when you see the off-road pages or when you have the map. I use my map all the time in a vehicle when I'm going different places. So kind of curious to see how the other ones will respond. And the one that's not on is, I got on my computer here, I have a Ram versus a Raptor type of a search going on. What you're not seeing is the GM products. So GM is kind of left out in the cold. I mean, you know, when the two other guys are doing it, maybe you should be doing it too. So I don't know what GM's going to do, what they're going to answer is going to be, or if they're fine with having their trail boss do the talking for them, or their AT4 package, it's in the GMCs. and that's, I have it on my vehicle. It's not an extreme off-roader, but it's nice to know that I have a, you know, automatic lock and rear differential if I need it. And I have used it. It locked in by itself when I was in some, you know, climbing a hill in low range actually, and in the mud this deer season. I was in the mud a little bit, so it's kind of nice to have that. But I'm not gonna do anything else with that vehicle and make it anything more than it is compared to what I'm doing with the Jeep. But I wonder if GMC or Chevy is gonna up their game. Are they gonna come out with something different? Because they do have the 6.2 liter that's in the pickups, and it can push 420 horsepower. Are they gonna kind of borrow a little bit from Corvette and put a bigger motor in? Who's to say? They really haven't tested the waters too deeply to see what they might do. So I'm curious. And now they had the Chevy Colorado. They did a package, and they have an off-road package that was supposed to compete with the Raptor back in the Cliff a couple years ago. I'm not sure if it really got people going. I mean, if you're going to buy an off-road vehicle more, you know, that's compete with the Raptor, you're going to want to be a full size. So yeah, it's interesting to see what they might do. So yeah, I mean, you can Google it yourself if you want and kind of read more about it. The price, that might be a question. This is what surprised me the most about the TRX. Price wise, I thought for sure it was just going to be 100 grand right out of the gate. But if you think back to what they did a few years ago when they had the Jeep Grand Cherokee with the Hellcat motor in there, it was starting at like 80 grand and going up to around 100. So it was kind of like the best sports car you could buy for the money, because it had all-wheel drive, had 700 horsepower, and it could sink your eyeballs to the back of your head. So yeah, it was out there, but not too crazy of a price. I mean, it would beat any Ferrari out there, I think, for the most part, zero to 100, but I could be wrong. But they're fast, in other words, for how big they were. So kind of crazy. Yeah, it wouldn't beat every Ferrari. You get what I'm talking about, though. It's fast. A Raptor starts at about 58 grand, and but the Ram is starting only at $72,000. But it has an extra 252 horsepower, which is crazy. I think it has some other features in there that might kind of make the Raptor look old real fast, because, well, it kind of is a little long in the tooth, but I know they're coming out with a new F-150, so they'll probably come out with a new Raptor. Maybe they're just sitting on it waiting to see what Ram was doing and see what show their hand on what they want to do. But in the end, it's kind of like, is what it is, and Ram is out there, and you can order it today and have it by Christmas. So we'll see how the Raptor and Ford, how they respond. They're kind of coming their own divisions now, too. I know Bronco's doing their own division. Ford is doing the Broncos. It's its own little division of the company. The Mustang is going to be their own little division. I know the TRX is probably going to be on its own little division, too, just because how it's got different body panels, front and rear. Probably the only thing that's the same is the cab, but then your axles are different, your body panels are different, front and back. And so I wonder how, if they're going to have other, you know, variants of that TRX. I don't think they are as much as Ford might with their variants, like they said at the Bronco. So be interesting to see. What else about that? I don't know, I'm excited to see one in person, that's for sure. It looks and sounds like a wicked vehicle. So on the vehicle news too, my son is living rather large, because he gets to drive my pickup more often than not, because my Jeep has now become my daily driver, because with the way things are going with this crazy world we live in, we can't quite pick up an extra cheap vehicle for my kid. Can't just go out there and do that. My business is kind of a little slower right now, we'll say. And just kind of wait until things pick back up before we do that for him. But so my 16-year-old gets to drive a pretty nice vehicle back and forth to work. He's just got a new job, and to his school, which he'll be going to here in a couple weeks, about 3 weeks actually. So he gets to live rather large, driving a big old pickup to school that's pretty brand new, pretty new compared to when I was a kid. It was just a little car, and had to get there. But it is what it is. He gets to do that now. Will he drive the Jeep? Well, he was a little hesitant about learning how to drive a stick shift. And took them out there. We did it a couple times. We started off in low range. We worked on going through the gears. Then we put it in high range, and then we started working through the gears. And he was kind of hesitant about learning how to drive the stick. And then I'm like, well, if he comes around, I'll kind of coach him through it again. The other day, he comes, walks up to me, he goes, "Dad, I'm ready to learn how to drive a stick shift." I'm like, perfect. So back to the drawing board. We're gonna get him out there and learn how to drive a stick, and maybe he will be driving the Jeep a little more often when Dad needs to have his pickup for, work, actual work stuff, and going on longer trips. So I'm excited to kind of teach him how to drive a stick shift again, and I think when he's more in to learn how to do it, we'll both be more patient and we'll get on it. But yeah, that's kind of where we're at in our realm. I did look, actually, I did, back to one of our other sponsors, Mortars More Jeep in Brainerd, Minnesota, because I did find a Jeep and Jeep that I wanted to take a look at, but it was in New York. I was like, well, it seems kind of weird that they have this many Jeep Grand Cherokees at the dealership in New York, and they're all under 100,000 miles. And out of the whole country, I was kind of looking for, and backing up a little bit, I've been thinking about getting my kid a Jeep Grand Cherokee, because I kind of like the idea of where we're at. We're on top of a hill. And in the wintertime, little front-wheel drive cars and vans are stuck at the bottom of the hill. They can't get up. No matter which way you come in, there's a hill all around. I live by the ski jump, if you guys know Minnesota at all. And there's a hill. So if it's snowing out, these cars and vans and everything else, they're not getting up it. I'm guessing if you had brand new tires, you'd be just fine. But or snow tires. But so I'm kind of playing with the idea of just, picking up an all-wheel drive or four-wheel drive, like a Jeep Grand Cherokee. But problem is, the rocker rails on these things in Minnesota tend to get real rusty real fast. So I was poking around, I found some in New York, and I asked Jeff, I said, "What do you think?" He goes, "Well, they're a little sketchy out there out east," is kind of how he put it. He goes, "Because I don't like buying vehicles from out east. They're a little sketchy, and some of them have more rust than you think." And so then I kind of went back to different websites, and I kind of found out that this dealership doesn't have the best reputation. And they say they have all these vehicles, but they really don't. I think what they do is they put that out there, then you call and talk to them, they talk you into something they actually have, which might not be as nice as what you see online. Or they make you buy you get the vehicle for a little cheaper if they have it, but then you have to buy a $3,000 extended warranty. So it's kind of a bait and switch, kind of a little bit of a crappy way to run a business, I think. But I also think that, if you're going to buy something, you go through Mortars More Jeep in Brainerd, Minnesota. So I'm back to the drawing board, not buying today anyhow, so I wasn't in a big of a rush. But I think when I do, I'm definitely going to go back and work with Jeff and try to find the right one for us. So I always work with a great dealership. It's very important to do that. And if you're not, I know I talked about how I bought different things online before, but not sight unseen. So that's kind of what I was worried about doing. So I didn't do that. Talked about my brother-in-law who did buy a Jeep Grand Cherokee, loved it, bought it through Vroom, and only to find out in the middle of winter that it was a two-wheel drive Jeep and not a four-wheel drive Jeep. So, and that was my wife's first thing she said. She goes, "Remember, you gotta make sure you," I go, "I know what to look for. I know I'm gonna buy a four-wheel drive." But then again, if you're not going to see it before you buy it, that might be the dangers. Something might be clunking, or it might not. They might send all the stuff. They might pull the wheels and tires that were on there. So yeah, I'm just back to the drawing board, and I gotta wait anyhow. So that's where we're at with our corral of vehicles. I just gotta wait anyhow. So I'm not gonna do anything with that. But in the end, take a look. Like I said, watch the video on the TRX online. It's awesome. I think it's gonna be a cool vehicle. I'd love to talk to somebody who buys one. I'm still looking for somebody who has a Gladiator. I want to talk to kind of about their impressions. So if you're a listener, you have a Gladiator, if you know somebody, I'd love to talk to you. I want to know what you're doing for. The Gladiator makes a lot more sense than a TRX because for Minnesota, because you can take it on trails. It can use the power that it has. But I want to talk to somebody who has one to see how it goes on the trail. So get back to me on that. Message me through the Facebook page. That'd be great. If I won, I actually mentioned this a couple different times. One of my clients, she goes, "Yeah, we saw Ferrari, blah, blah, blah." And I go, "Even if I won lottery, had $100 million in the bank, I never think I would ever buy a Ferrari." And she's like, "Why?" And I'm like, they are just, I just think they're useless compared to a pickup or another SUV that can be, you can use, or obviously a Jeep. I go, I don't think I'd ever buy it. I think I'd probably have about four or five Jeeps and four or five pickups, but I would never have a Ferrari because it seems too useless. But like I said, if I had the money today, I'd buy two TRXs, one I'd store, sell it down the road. I bet you could, you know, get your money back and then probably double that in about 20 years or even 10 years. But the, well, how do I know that? Because I watch, Dennis Collins. He bought a bunch of Fox Body Mustangs. If you want to go down memory lane, if you're, you know, my age or older or younger and you're into Mustangs, he had a bunch of Fox Body. When I say a bunch, he must have had about 20 of them. And those are the ones, the 5.0s that they built in the 80s and late 80s, early 90s. And, he had a bunch of them with like under 100 miles. Some of them like had 3 miles on them, and he sold them for a mint. So he probably bought these way back in the day from another auction at some point, or he bought them brand new and just shoved them in a garage. And they had, like I said, 3 miles. Some of them didn't go through dealer prep. He's known to have that type of stuff. And he sold them for, I want to say, a lot of money. If you watch the YouTube page where he talks about them, he, you know, I bought this one for 20 grand. He's selling it for, you know, 100 grand. It's amazing what he sold them for. Just watch that if you like to be entertained. Blew my mind. So these TRXs might be the last big V8s that are in these vehicles like this. So some enthusiast 20, 30 years from now might be buying that, you know, for 200 grand, 300 grand. Who knows? Crazier things have happened. So. But yeah, that's kind of my thoughts on the new TRX, and you know, I'll get back to you next week that I actually fixed the lawnmower, or didn't I? And special thanks again to James, who's supporting the podcast. But thanks for listening to Mitch and his thoughts of the day. But hopefully, kind of gets your mind thinking a little bit more on what you can fix, and also take a look at what's new and coming out in vehicles. Talk to you soon. Thanks. Hey gang, thanks for listening to the Crossroad Off-Road Podcast, brought to you by Motors & More Jeeps in Brainerd, Minnesota. Go online and check them out.